The scriptures that I'll be reading from is Revelation chapter 5. John writes these words, "Then I saw at the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven and on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the corner of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand." Hold on, sorry. Got to turn the page. Awkward pause. "Of him who is on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living elders and the creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, hold on. Okay, there we go. Good morning, everybody. I sound like you feel. I actually feel great. I just sound terrible. So bear with me. You'll just have to listen to me ask questions and other people will talk. It'll be great. We're here today to celebrate Jesus. That's why we're here every week. And it's important to remember when we come to celebrate Jesus that it's not Brooks, it's not me, it's not anybody who stands on stage that's important. Brooks just read that we are called to be a kingdom of priests. And that means that each one of you who follow Jesus is given the task of sharing Jesus with your brother and with your sister and with your neighbor. And so what today we're going to do, we're going to spend time hearing from our neighbors about Jesus, about what he's done in their life, about what he's done in the lives of people that they've had the chance to serve and work with. A couple of months ago, we had a testimony service. We brought people up and we had testimonies of about a variety of things, things that were important to the people who were sharing those testimonies, personal things about brothers and sisters, about homes, about all kinds of things in their lives. Today, we're going to hear about testimonies having to do with short-term missions and specifically about our trips to Guatemala. A number of you know we send trips to Guatemala twice a year, and we have another one going in February. If that's something that you're interested in, we're going to ask you to consider going not in February because our trip in July didn't get to go, so we got lots of folks waiting still to go, but for this next July and August. So if you hear these testimonies today and you're like, "That's something I want to do," come and talk to me afterward and we will get you hooked up because we would like to send a team again, end of July, first week of August, somewhere in that spot this next year, and we would love for some of you to participate. So what we're going to do is we're going to hear a number of testimonies. We're going to spend some time hearing and then praying. And we just want to worship God today through hearing what he has done and how he's doing it. So I'm going to invite Mackenzie Logan up. I saw her. She's over here. Mackenzie's going to be our first testimony this morning. And I'll let her explain who she is and what her experience has been. Feel free to have a seat. It's okay. Just start with your little bit of your history. How many times have you gone to Guatemala?
Okay. So I've been to Guatemala twice. Mm-hmm. First time was on a missions trip with Grace 2 years ago, and then this last year I went back for 3 weeks for an internship with okay. Bethel.
Awesome. And so tell these folks, because some of them have no idea, what does a standard Grace trip, or at least your Grace trip, look like? What do we do there? What's that all about?
So on a standard Grace trip, if it doesn't get all messed up, you are building 2 to 3 houses, and that starts with like a concrete day and then like a house build day to finish the house. You go on house visits. We visited 3 people in the same day when I went on it. And we get a rest day, thankfully. But that's basically the 2 things we do. And last time we were going to give out stoves, build stoves for people, but
it didn't happen.
No. Would have.
Yeah. And then there's one other thing that we typically do, which is distribute wheelchairs.
Yes.
And you're fine. And we collect wheelchairs from you guys from all over the United States. Not just Grace, but lots of churches, and we ship those down. It's almost impossible to get them in country, and so we ship them there. They have a shop there that is manned by people in wheelchairs. So not only are we sending wheelchairs to the folks in Guatemala, but they are employing people who might not otherwise get work to fix them up and send them out again. So you said, and you made a joke, standard Grace trip. So tell us about, because this is my experience for the second one, what happened the second time? You were on the Guatemala side.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were doing your internship, and what was supposed to happen?
So we were supposed to have, 30 people
20
total?
People, yeah.
Well, with people in Guatemala, we were going to have 30 people. So we were going to build 3 houses, distribute the stoves, build them, do the wheelchair distribution. The 3 houses is the big thing. They don't usually do that. But what actually happened, since you guys didn't end up coming, we just built the houses. We took 10, 12 people from Guatemala. They had a couple people from the shop come, and we just built the houses and did the wheelchairs.
Yeah.
But before that, I was just helping out in the shop.
Cool. That's great.
Yeah.
So this last June, for those of you who don't know, there was a global software error that grounded thousands of flights, and we tried to go to Guatemala that day. Didn't work. We ended up coming back home. So Mackenzie and some other folks got to build houses. She told you there's a concrete day. We pour a slab. We put up a house. It's almost all sheet metal. And when we went, Mackenzie and I went the first time together, we could put up the whole sheet metal house in a day. And you might think, well, what kind of house is that? And it's more house than most people have. That's what kind of house it is. It's a concrete floor, which most people don't have, and it's walls and a roof, which most people don't have. And this is something that we're able to do because of your generosity. What is it like, Mackenzie, when you serve those families? Because you don't speak Spanish, correct? At least not fluently.
No.
So what's it like to serve people when you have very little language between you? What's that experience like?
It's tough not being able to communicate with them, but in a way it kind of makes it sweeter because you're communicating with your, like, what you're doing and just, like, hugs. There was lots of hugs. It's tough, but it's really, really sweet to work with them.
Yeah. And there are translators. When we go with Bethel, there's always at least 2 people who are fluent in Spanish with the team, and they're able to translate. But Mackenzie's right. Like, sometimes you rely on body language, you rely on gestures, you rely on whatever it takes. Is there a specific story, either from house visit, home build, wheelchair distribution, that just, like, really touched you, something that was important?
Well, both trips there's been a house build where there's a girl about my age, teens.
Yeah.
The first time, I remember, she would help us, me and Amanda, with the cutting of the sheet metal beams, whatever you want to call those. She was helping us, like, mark them and cut them, and she was deaf, too, so it was even harder to communicate, but we were able to, you know, use smiles and hugs and point to things. But it was just really sweet to see her help, because they usually... families usually help, neighbors usually help, but it was extra tough for her, and so it was really sweet to see her help and get to pray over her at the end. And then the second time I went, there was another family with a girl, and we actually got to talk a little bit, and she was 16, I think, and had been working in the tomato field since she was 12. Couldn't go to school, so it was kind of tough to listen to her story, but we just sat and talked for a little bit, and it was really nice. And then she didn't help a whole lot because she had others to look after, but then at the end, I have a video of her saying a little message to you guys, Grace, too.
Yeah.
yeah, and pray over her, too. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
One of the missionaries we worked with, his name is Ben Mooney. And Ben, either in the morning or at dinner, usually once a day, he'll ask the team, where did you see Jesus today? Always trying to redirect us to focus our eyes on not just who did we get to serve, but where did we see our Lord and Savior at work in us, through us? So is there a specific moment where either first trip or second trip, you're like, that's Jesus working?
Not a specific moment, just a lot of little things. Yeah. Like, it's really hot and sunny there, so a cloud would come over and the breeze would come, and it's like, thank you. the family's helping out. They helped a lot, so that was just sweet, and, like, seeing God work in them, too.
Yeah.
And the missionaries, obviously. They do a lot, so it was cool to see how he has used them to help.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then the families at the end seeing their house. Like, the last time there was these two little kids who were, like, on the very tip of their toes looking out the window at the view, and it was just so cute. And,
Yeah, it's a new life for them entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So what would you say to one of these people who thinks, maybe I want to do that?
Do it. Go. It's so fun.
That's all you need right there.
Yeah.
So you had never traveled internationally before going your first time.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe you were a little nervous. Your parents were very nervous.
Yeah.
how easy or how hard do you feel like it was? Because this was your first time traveling out of the country, first time doing something like this. What would you say?
Yeah. It was definitely tough. I mean, it was only my second time ever flying, first time flying with a group that it's not my family, it's internationally. I was really scared and nervous, but it was something that I've wanted to do for a long time. So, and I knew that, like, whatever happened, God was there. Lots of things happened on that trip where we got lost, and I was surprisingly calm, which is unusual, because that's when I'm lost, I get freaked out. So, but it was really calming, and yeah, it was something I would not normally do. Yeah. So,
but you're doing it twice now.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Want to pray. Is there something or a family or a thing about these trips that you'd like to pray for as we pray?
Just a lot of them can't go to school. So just pray for sponsorships for them and food too. We give them food bags, but that only lasts them a month, I think.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and the sponsorships, this is going to sound crazy to some of you, but can help provide school uniforms, which is often the barrier for them to go to school. School supplies and school uniforms can be a huge financial barrier. It costs almost nothing for somebody in the U.S. to provide, but it can be months or years of work to provide in Guatemala. So sponsorship is not a huge commitment, but it can make a huge difference. Can we pray? God, thank you so much for Mackenzie and for her willingness to go and to serve, not just once, but twice now. Just praise you, Lord, for the heart that you've given her for serving you and for serving your people. And God, I pray that you would be with these young men and women in Guatemala who desperately want to learn. They want to use the mind that you've given them to grow and to mature. And there are just what seem like insurmountable barriers in finances and in other things. Lord, remove those barriers. Use our congregation, use others, Lord, to remove those barriers so that these men and women can use the gifts that you've given them to glorify you with their whole heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. God, I pray that you would help us to see where you are calling us to give and to serve in these ways. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Mackenzie. I'll take that from you. All right, I'm going to invite Chloe. I don't need that. I've got this on. I'm going to invite Chloe and Mindy up, and they're going to share. And what Mackenzie said about standard trips, I want to explain to you a little bit. So what typically happens what's supposed to happen, according to Bethel, is that we fly down, we get into Guatemala, and we spend time building houses, like they said, laying concrete, putting up these walls, and then we're supposed to go to another house and do the same thing, and then visit families. But every trip that Grace has been on has seen some sort of disruption to that. One of the trips, when I went, a major rainstorm caused a bridge to just disappear overnight because their infrastructure is worse than ours. And as a result, we had to drive about 2.5-3 hours around to get to the build site, right? And we were lost, like Mackenzie was saying. They're trying to use Google Maps, Apple, Waze, whatever they can figure out to find where they are in the country, and they're just guessing some of the time. So that was a quote-unquote standard trip. Another time there was a protest that shut down the roads, and they just sat in the car for like 6 hours, couldn't go anywhere because there's nowhere to go, right? Protest is shutting down the roads. So standard trip is just expect something to be different. That's what a standard trip is. So Chloe and Mindy, introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
My name's Chloe. I had a cool experience. I got to go with my mom. We went with Mackenzie and Josh the first time. The experience was such a great experience. Just, I've never been on a missions trip before, so just getting to like do that and like with my mom and just experience all that was just really cool.
Yeah, and that was my first mission trip. I've never been on one either before. I would say that our team was, that we had a wonderful team, and you just really have to learn to be flexible, which is kind of part of the experience. But God was like always there, and he showed up in a big way. And
I'm going to use this one.
Okay, that's fine.
I messed it up too. So I'm going to go straight here. You went having never gone, Mindy. Mm-hmm. What was the thing that motivated you and said, never done this, but I'm going to do it this time?
Yeah. So I would say the reasons that I hadn't gone before, number one, like the financial, I thought, holy cow, this is a lot. But that was one of the easiest things we thought, writing the letter, like when we got together with our group and talked about like our meeting beforehand, if you didn't already write a letter, which I highly, I'm like, you can do this. And then I was like, I'll sign the bottom of it. But like our team was totally like, they're like, oh, okay, well, we can help you write the letter. Like that was not a barrier at all. The other reason is always like, oh, well, I don't have the time. Like I, who's going to watch my kids that stuff is just not important at all. Like once you get there, you're totally blown away by how God clears the way for all of that stuff to happen. And we actually had more than enough money to go, and it added to kind of the fun of it, of like packing our suitcases and not even caring about what we were going to take on the trip, because most of the stuff we ended up leaving there for them to be able to use, which the needs are so great that you don't want to keep any of your stuff anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What made you decide to go?
I felt the Lord really pulling on my heart to go and do something that like, it was really out of my comfort zone doing, because I'm like, oh, I can't share the gospel. And I'm like, you really can. Like the Lord will give you the words to say. And like Mackenzie was saying, there's a lot of like gestures, and I feel like that. And like even, yeah, you can't really.
But her Spanish was way better than a lot. She could speak way better to the people than I could. I always would be like, hey, Chloe, can you go tell this lady this? And then she'd be like, she'd think for a minute. And then she would say, I was like, yeah. And
you had
like,
high school Spanish. That's
yeah, high school Spanish. It paid off. Yeah. I was like, woo.
And so I just really felt the Lord pulling on my heart. And then it was nice that I was like, hey, Mom, you should come with me. So yeah, then having that too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So for your trip, I already explained a little bit that there's no such thing as a typical day. But yeah. What were some of the things that you experienced that just stick in your mind as like, this is what it meant to go on that trip? Experiences or interactions?
I felt like one of the coolest things about it all was seeing their joy like in the Lord, and they had so little. Like these people would be living like on dirt floors. They would literally have like sheets for their walls. Their toilet is literally like a hole in the ground. Mm-hmm. And they had more joy in the Lord than I feel like I have sometimes. And I was mm-hmm. like, wow, we really take things for granted here in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we feel like we need to have all these things to live a quote unquote happy life. Mm-hmm. So I feel like just seeing that joy really was a reset, and just how much they love the Lord, even when they have like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, well, I was doing concrete, okay? Like, that's not something I would ever normally do, but, like, seeing the people and one of the houses that we built, the son really helped out in, like, jumping in, and he was so excited, like, mm-hmm. beyond overjoyed, and it was also the kid of the daughter who was deaf, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Afterwards, like, they go in, you build the house, and it's not just, like, you build the house, there it is, like, we did everything, like, we put beds out for them, decorated it, and made it really special. And it was so overwhelming when you were in their house afterwards with them, like, praying, and then the missionary did a prayer and stuff and blessing the house, that it moves you in a way that you can't ever have any experience like that unless you go. Mm-hmm. I would also say that wheelchair day was extremely powerful and moving. You think of a wheelchair and you think, oh, well, they just go get that wheelchair. It's totally not like that at all. Like, they take that person, they take the time. Like, they were cutting the legs of the wheelchairs mm-hmm. to retrofit to make it just right for that person, mm-hmm. because some of these people were carried there. They had never even been able to be in one. And some of them lived, like, their whole life in a wheelchair. So it's super important. Sorry, what?
Or, like, they had never left the house before, and this was their first, like, experience of getting a wheelchair and getting out of the house.
Yeah. So it was so you got to spend a lot of time with that one person. I can't mm-hmm. even remember how many we fit. Like, each person, we did, like, a couple. But you really got to spend some time with mm-hmm. those people. And that day, I had a lady. Was she 90? Or?
Yeah, she was 90.
She was, like, my absolute favorite, and the kids really take care of their parents. The mm-hmm. kid had brought his mom there, and she was beyond overjoyed and thankful, and, yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah. The gift that we're giving these folks is not anything that we can give, right? It's just an opportunity for us to be faithful, mm-hmm. and when we're faithful, God is faithful to use that faithfulness, and the family that they're talking about, single mother, deaf daughter, young son. He wants desperately to provide for his mom and his mm-hmm. sister. And he's like a 14-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. And he has no education to speak mm-hmm. of, no means of doing that. And through your faithfulness, because you guys help provide the finances for that house, mm-hmm. through the team's faithfulness, right, we're able to go and give him an opportunity to help build a house for his mm-hmm. for his mom and his sister. Mm-hmm. And it's unexpressible. Like, you really cannot believe the emotion to watch that boy contribute in that way and to work and to say, I'm doing this. I'm helping. I'm being faithful.
Yeah.
So it is awesome. Yeah. Absolutely. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys talked about not doing this before you made the choice. What would you say to these folks? Mackenzie said, do it. So that answer's off the table. you gotta do something more. What would you say to people who are thinking about going?
I would say just not to hesitate, and don't let the boundaries of what you think that are holding you back from holding you back, mm-hmm. because it's one of the best experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And also, like, if you don't know a lot of people at Grace, this is a really great way to get to know them. Sleeping in a room with somebody who you don't really know at all.
True.
I got to meet somebody that, and Kenzie,
Chloe
roomed with Kenzie, so. Yeah. Yeah, it was really, really great experience. Go. Do it. go.
I think one of the most, like, selfish things we can do is just stay at home, not tell anybody about Jesus or anything. I feel like it was really just an eye-opening experience. And like I said, like, if you think you can't do it, you can. Like, the mm-hmm. Lord's going to give you those words to say and the things to do. So mm-hmm. just go out and share the gospel, because it's really not as hard as you might think it was.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then same question I asked Mackenzie, where did you guys see Jesus? Could be a person, could be an experience, provision. Yeah.
I think I just, like I said, like, the joy that they had when they had nothing. Like, the Lord really is just working.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I would say definitely in the people, by seeing them with absolutely nothing. It makes you, like, want to have less, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. because when you take all the distractions and stuff away that we have, it makes you like rely on the Lord more, and they just have to rely on him for their basic needs. So,
absolutely. Something or someone you guys would like to pray about?
I would just say, like, more, like, sponsoring of more wheelchairs. I feel like there were people who, like, we couldn't help, which was just like heartbreaking. So more money for the wheelchairs for those people.
Yeah, and I would just say, the sponsorships and these kids being able to live a normal kid life, quote unquote, instead of having to become adults at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and if you don't know, Ryan and Natasha Miller, who are going to come up here in a minute, they have a shipping container that they're hosting for us so that we can fill it up with wheelchairs and send down there. I said they're impossible to get in country, but we can ship them there. And we're going to do that as soon as we have a full container. So if you know of people with wheelchairs that they're not using, bring those in, donate those, and we will send those down to Guatemala. Let's pray a minute. God, we praise you and thank you that Mindy and Chloe had this opportunity to go and that you've blessed them and that you've worked through them, Lord, that you've shown other people the joy of salvation through them. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray with Chloe, Lord, that you would provide the wheelchairs for those folks who are otherwise laying on the ground. Lord, they're at home. They're in the dirt often because that's the floor they have, or they're on a pad, maybe some blankets, but they can't even get off the ground, Lord, because their body is so crippled. And we know that we can do this. We can provide wheelchairs, Lord, but we know that you can heal. And so we ask not just for wheelchairs, but for healing for men and women and children, Lord, who are crippled beyond the ability to even sit. God, provide your healing. And Lord, with Mindy, I pray that you would just touch hearts, that you would move people to support their brothers and sisters in Guatemala. Thank you so much for these sisters. Lord, thank you for their willingness to go. I pray that others would hear their words and be moved to go as well. In your name, Jesus, amen. And thank you, guys. All right, Ryan and Natasha are going to join us. And this is the last set of testimonies. We're also going to spend some time praising God in response to these things. Ryan and Natasha have been to Guatemala about 75 times. And they've done everything there is to do. They're practically celebrities there. So we're going to hear from them now that I've set them up. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Ryan Miller, and I've been to Guatemala 3 times so far.
Yes, I'm Natasha, and I have also been 3. We're getting ready for our 4th. The first time I went, I took our son, and the first time Ryan went, he took our youngest daughter, and then we've been back together there 2.
All right. So you've gone as a whole family now.
Yes.
And for anybody who's wondering, can I bring my kids on this trip, what would you say?
Yes, you definitely should, because every trip that I've been on, we've had at least a couple of, you know, parents with kids. And because of the nature of the things we do there, there's definitely stuff for kids to do. And I've seen everyone has commented how good it was to go with one of their kids. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I would say as long as your kid is old enough to help, willing to help, absolutely, because it for our kids, hearing them when we have spiritual conversations or talk about things, it almost always references a time when we were able to serve in another country together. So it's very powerful for them.
Yeah, absolutely. There are, as Natasha alluded to, there are some like strength and stamina requirements, right? You need to be big enough to help physically because there's not really space to just hang out and be there. But if you're able to physically help, there's all kinds of opportunities. It is pretty safe, actually. We're always together, and there's always the ability to watch out for one another. So it's not really a safety issue other than you're on a construction site. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, and we find stuff for everyone to do. We've had, let's see, the last one, we had someone who was 11 or 12 and someone who was in their 70s. I would say, if you can at least move around a little, you can lift a couple of things, you'd be good to go. We'll find something for you to do.
It's true. So you can broaden this out. You don't have to just talk about Guatemala, but what moved you guys to start doing this? Why have you chosen to do short-term trips internationally?
You want to go first?
I would say for me, missions is something that I've loved my whole life. My parents instilled that in me from a young age. And the first time I got to go on an international mission trip was when I was 17. And now that I have kids who are that age and older, I'm like, wow, that was good of my parents to let me go for 6 weeks. But I think Mindy, I don't remember, someone else said this already, but like the things that you can see in a different place, it just really opens your eyes. And seeing people love God in a completely different culture, the worship looks different, the prayer looks different, but it's the same God. And getting God's eyes to see his people all over the world. So I don't know exactly what led me, but I love to travel, and so that wasn't a barrier, I guess, to start with. It's been really good for my personal faith, for us as a family, and then to come back and how can that change the way we live here. So I think I just took your question and went a completely different direction.
Totally fine.
Yeah, you covered most of it. I would say, yeah, it really opens your eyes to how people worship in other cultures. And it looks very different. Like Mindy was saying, you know, in Guatemala, when we pray at the end of the house and bless the house, first time I was like, what is going on? Because how they pray in Guatemala is you get in a group. Yeah, you've been there. And everybody prays out loud all at the same time. And it just was different, right?
It's not very organized.
No, it's not very organized. That's how they do it. And the wheelchair days, we're there to be basically the hands and feet of Christ. We're fitting people for wheelchairs. We're bringing them in. We're doing the physical, moving it around, all that stuff. We do get to interact with the people some. But the main thing is when they're done, they and their family go over to the side of the building we're using. And there's a whole set of local pastors and church leaders over there. Everyone gets a Bible. They pray with them. And even though, I mean, my Spanish is, it's average at best. You hear these pastors over there praying with these people, and it's just a whole different way they pray. I remember the one guy, the whole room would fill with his voice. And they're, you know, and so that's one of the, that's why we give the wheelchairs away. People need them, but they then are given, you know, they're presented the gospel, they're prayed for. Some people are already believers, they've been praying for a wheelchair for years. Other people are not believers. And so it's just really cool to see how God connects with everybody in different ways.
Yeah, and just so you all know, Bethel, the organization that we work with, when they hand out a wheelchair, they make sure that they record contact information for those folks. And then at that point, they're in the system. Anytime their wheelchair breaks or they grow out of it, if they're a child, they're able to contact Bethel and get refit. So this is not a one and done, we hope you have a nice life sort of situation, but rather an ongoing relationship where they get to have mobility going forward. So that's something that our partner is faithful to do that we're really excited about. What about you guys? Where did you see Jesus on a recent Guatemala trip? One that's happened more in the past, but just where have you been confronted with the Lord in the work that you're doing?
You stole that question from Ben, didn't you?
Absolutely.
We use that question at the end of every day in Guatemala. There's a lot of places I've seen, you know, Jesus throughout the different things we've done. But I would say for me, one of the big ways is the first two trips I led, we just weren't getting traction and not barely enough people. We were doing all these things, and, you know, I forgot to really pray about it. So when I finally gave up trying to recruit all these people and prayed about it, all of a sudden the group filled up. But then going on the trip, just seeing how God brings together the people that he wants to go and how the people got there, the different ways that they decided to go, that's one of the ways. But one of the other ways is we have this devotional that we do every day. And, you know, I'm just looking at names. Some people I know, some I don't. And I'm just, like, making the schedule. You know, this happened on two trips. Just making the schedule, who's going to do what day. Send it out. Okay, here we go, you know. And then when we get there and we're going through it day by day, very often the person that landed on, like, there's something special that they're able to share that it just fits with them. And they'll say, like, oh, yeah, God was speaking to me about this. And I'm like, you know, I'm just looking at names, putting them down on the paper. But God is using even things like that to, like, get the right people at the right time. And awesome. Then, yeah, every day depends house, or there's always, you see God every day.
One of my standout moments, I agree that you see God working every day. We can see that here when we have our eyes open. But we were on a home visit, and it was a pretty elderly grandma raising a granddaughter who was like 12, I think. And the grandma was the people that we see in Guatemala are the poorest of the poor, the least of these for sure. And so that's their story. They had a whole story. It was a whole thing. In the food bag, there's a Bible. And so the grandma took the Bible. She couldn't read, but she was so thankful for that Bible. She was crying tears of joy. And it was like, she knew her granddaughter could read to her, but she held such value in the Word of God. She couldn't even read it, but she was so thankful for it. And then when we went to pray, like Ryan said, you pray kind of all at once. And I know like this much Spanish. So, contextually I could understand she prayed a beautiful prayer that was pretty much like a psalm. Mm-hmm. Prayer of thanks, of lament, saying who God is. Like it was so beautiful. I just remember leaving that house. We give them clothes. So we were going out to the van to get clothes, and Ben and I were just like, wow, like that. If you want to see a godly woman, you go to Guatemala and meet this lady. Don't remember her name, but she walks with the Lord.
That's awesome. How can we pray something that's on your heart for the people? You're going again in February. How can we be praying for Guatemala based on what you guys have seen in your experiences?
I think one thing that stands out to me is the Bethel staff does this day in and day out. Yeah. They work with us, but they work with so many people. They're continually pouring out, and just prayers for them to be with the Lord. I know they are, but continue to carve out that time and to be filled up. And it's hard work. It's draining, but their hearts are so for the Lord and for the work. And so just continued encouragement.
We should have talked about that one ahead of time. That's what I was going to say. I would say right now on being able to collect enough wheelchairs to send down, because I know the last group we went on, we were done by like noon because we were out of chairs. And so I know that they're very short on chairs to give out, and it'd be nice to be able to do a full day.
Yeah.
So
let's pray, guys. God, we thank you for the team at Bethel. We thank you for these men and women who have given not just a week or 2 weeks out of a year, Lord, but they're there every day. They live in the country. They minister day in and day out to their brothers and sisters in Guatemala, and we praise you for them. We ask, Lord, that they would be wise. Help them to make wise choices about how they spend their time, giving time that's sufficient for their families, for rest, Lord, for renewal and rebuilding so that they can be healthy and well for their work. And God, I pray also with Ryan and with many others, Lord, that you would provide those chairs that are necessary so that these people can have the resource, Lord, of mobility, the resource of being able to be out in the community, that they can have that everyday life experience. Provide through your congregation today. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.
In standing for the benediction, Matthew chapter 28, commonly known as the Great Commission, starting in verse 16. Matthew records these words. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us to the end of the age. We thank you, Jesus, that you did not love your life enough to hold on to it, but you emptied yourself of glory and you took on the form of a man and became a servant, and a servant even unto death. Thank you for taking our sins to the cross, for giving us your Spirit. And Lord, you have given us a commission. And Lord, it requires that we obey. Lord, you promised to go with us, but would you give each man, woman, and child here the courage to heed that call, to trust you, to walk in faith, to be disciples who then make disciples. Father, I pray that your Spirit would guide us in the day-to-day outworking of this commission. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Go in grace. We'll see you next week.